Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to the Change Agent's Dilemma for Tuesday, June 8th, 2010 on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Heather Stagel, coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia, as I typically do every 2 weeks on Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Although over the summer, I'm actually doing the show only every 4 weeks, in case you feel like you missed the last one. You did not. This show is one of the many ways I help equip individuals to lead organizational change at Enclaria LLC. The Change Agent's Dilemma is how to influence change without authority. And the guest that I have here today has done that and knows about that. So I brought her to tell her story. Her name is Dot Olenovich. And a few short years ago, Dot was a homeschool leader and a full-time mom and worked part-time on various writing or software projects as she was needed. Today we'll hear about how and why Dot began to move her life in a new direction so that today she is a full-time MBA student and a research assistant at Lehigh University. Her research is in the areas of change management and resilience, and her perspective is that secret change agents are absolutely critical to the functioning of every successful organization. I invited Dot to be a guest on the show so that she could share her unique and empowering perspective on personal change in the workplace. Dot, thank you so much for being here. Welcome to the show.
My pleasure. Thanks so much to you, Heather, and also to your listeners who are taking time out of their busy schedules to join us.
So tell us a little bit about your story. How did you go from homeschooler to change agent?
Well, I guess people are pretty sort of amazed at my story, but I think the most amazing thing about me is that I'm ordinary. I'm just a regular person who decided what she wanted and then took the steps in that direction. So I started out, I was perfectly happy homeschooling. I enjoyed homeschooling. But as I homeschooled, I learned about physics and chemistry and writing and expressing ideas, and it all made sense. And when I looked around the world the way it is, I thought, this doesn't make any sense. Why are things like this? You know, it should be working. You know, things are meant to work together. And so I sort of was discouraged with the way that the world was, and I wanted to be I wanted to feel as though I was making it better with my participation. And I was through educating my children, but I sort of gained a new direction in my own life. And I set out to find out what could be done to sort of improve the way business is done in the United States, since my main focus is on business. Because the United States, the competitive, competitive setting and things like that, we aren't doing as well as we should. And I wanted to know why. So I found out. I'm finding out more every day. And it does make sense. When we see what's going on in the world and we see the decisions that have been made, it makes sense that the world is kind of going the way it is. So
when you say that things in the world aren't working, what do you mean?
Well,
in the business world.
In the business world, for instance, you see some great corporations, and they're not doing that well. Or you see, the thing with BP, for instance, there's gigantic failures going on. And you look at that and you think, well, what happened there? And now after becoming a change agent myself and studying business, I understand what happened at BP. I have a off switch on my hose at home, because like if I ever want to shut it off, I need that, and we have a well and we have an off thing on the well. So for BP, like there was probably people that raised concerns about the design of the pipeline and, you know, the whole thing. But in my mind, if there had been change agents who knew how to negotiate the environment, it would have been designed differently, it would have been designed better, and we wouldn't have this problem that we have right now. So when I look at the business environment, I think not only is it possible to be a change agent, but if we don't get more change agents at every level, things are going to continue to go that way, where there's these major failures that could have really been prevented up front if the proper people had been in a position to be change agents proactively.
So what were some of the jobs that you had that led you to this realization that things in business don't always work?
Well, as a writer, I often came in at the end of a project, so I would write up policies and procedures or document the software, and I noticed that things didn't always work wonderfully. Of course, with software, there's always version 2, so if something doesn't work in version 1, you always have another shot. But just even from that perspective, I realized that my passion for planning was not being utilized because as a writer, I was really just documenting the decisions that had already been made. So I decided in order to be part of the decision process, I'd have to come in earlier on the projects in order to have input. But also just reading, you know, Newsweek or New York Times or anything, if you really open your eyes and you start looking at what these articles are saying is that the companies aren't functioning together as one company appropriately, and so then you have these disconnects in the planning process.
Mm-hmm. When did you realize that you needed to step it up, I guess?
About 3 years ago. The kids were in a great place. They were well educated. So we had a classical education co-op, and the kids were doing well educationally, and they were very social because we always did so many things with other people. And I just felt a change in myself that I was so dissatisfied with the world that I felt almost compelled to take action on it because I just thought this is going nowhere good. Just in the past couple years, things have gotten worse. And even in the past 3 years, when I look back at what was going on at that time, it was nothing compared to what we have now with the recession and everything like that. I was exactly on the money. So we looked at our situation. I started talking to my husband about the changes that we could make to simplify and move in a different direction because I knew it would be a sacrifice for the family. And talked to the kids about school and started asking people, so your kids seem to like school. Why? Because we were so used to homeschooling, it was sort of a foreign concept. So I really had to prepare for the life change. But we sold our house and moved to a different school district. The spring when housing markets were a little bit low, but they hadn't completely tanked yet. So great timing on that. We moved to a really wonderful school district and wonderful neighborhood. And so financially, we weren't paying for the private school at that point. And I was really able to take a good look at my options for my career. And from all that homeschooling and learning, my GMAT score was very strong. And I realized what a great opportunity this was for me to actually be able to go for my MBA and study and actually have a funded position because of my background.
Oh, that's great. So it seems like you've actually taken this idea of becoming a change agent in an organization, and it's almost like activism for you. You've had a lifestyle change, and you're like, this is what I'm going to do to change the world.
Within
an organization.
Yes, I feel that actually the people, you know, people that are not, and I didn't feel this way myself at first, which we'll talk about my software testing role, but at first I did not feel that the people sort of towards the bottom of a team or a company had as much influence as now I realize that they do after having studied organizational change and organizational resilience and teamwork and leadership. Now I realize how critical it is that everybody is in tune with the mission of the company and they're working together in a way that will fulfill that in the most positive way. So when I set out, I just looked around and I said, hey, this has got to get better. I have all these kids, and now I'm sort of responsible for making things good for them in whatever way I can. So that was my perspective, but instead of thinking I hate my career, which it was a great career, but it wasn't what was for me anymore, I took a look at my life, and I found that I had several areas that could improve. It wasn't just, I'll go out and get a job.
Right.
So it was, your life has to make sense unto itself. So when you look at your life, if there's things that aren't in line with what you believe as a person, those are the kinds of things that kind of just make you ineffective as a person and sort of weaken your position. So I think it's great to just take a class so that when you go to work, you can say, oh, well, my leadership professor said this, or, my marketing professor said it's all about customer relationships. And then you have that external validation of what you're feeling, and that also helps you. But for me, I felt like I needed the credential of the MBA, plus I needed the full education to really understand the business world the way that I wanted to. So, I think one of my approaches has been to go after my weaknesses. So, which is kind of like in MBA school, it's kind of interesting because I took negotiations because I knew that my negotiations are weak. I'm too nice, So I took negotiations to learn how other people negotiate. And then while I'm in it, I'm like, why did I take this? My grade might be reflected, might reflect the fact that I'm not that great at negotiations. But my whole strategy for being a change agent has been to say, what needs to be changed? What skills do I need to be part of that change? And then go out and get those skills. For as somebody who got smarter as life went on, I realized that we have much more of an intellectual capacity than we can possibly realize. So rather than thinking that you're unempowered, I prefer to think, how can you gain the knowledge, the skills, the relationships that you need in order to be a positive force for change in your workplace, in your home, wherever you are? So I think the challenges that we face are challenges that we're supposed to meet. Like earlier in life, I was avoidant because, in homeschooling, we did cooperate and stuff, but I couldn't figure out at that time how to make a school situation work for me. If I had wanted to, I didn't want to because that was my choice. But even if I had wanted to, I looked at it and said, I don't know how to do that. So rather than avoid, I thought, well, there are some people that are doing this effectively. I want to find out how they're doing that. And so I think the challenges in the workplace, you think, oh, that's a challenge. I'm sick of it. I'm going to walk away. Really, honestly, our organizations need people in place that are willing to look at things honestly and do something about them. If you look at BP, if you look at BP, what if all the change agents left? I mean, you look at these major organizations and you think, well, they are the major organization. They have this, they have that. You know what? There's sometimes when you should leave, like if you're being abused or if it's just not a good fit. I've done it myself. But if you feel that you should stay, it might not be comfortable, but it might be the right decision. Comfort is not a good measure of whether it's the right decision. In BP, and in other organizations as well, the people that are doing the work are in an ideal position to have the proper input to make the things work that need to work in this world. And so I just now feel that more than a CEO who is one person, the rest of us need to kind of take on our own accountability and our own responsibility and do what we can from our own positions. Even the CEO cannot unilaterally change an organization. He needs to work with other people. She needs to work with other people. So you're not going to be able to change an organization either. But as you change yourself, your organization will adapt to your changes. And the organization kind of has to change because you're changing. So my example of that is my software testing job was just a really fantastic opportunity for me. I had decided that I wanted to come in earlier on a project, but, you know, I wasn't in a position to be a project manager or even an analyst because my background had just been in technical writing. And but lo and behold, as I changed, an opportunity came along, and I was referred to be a software tester on a team. And at first, I found it uncomfortable. I mean, I was expected to come in and just test, and not that they didn't want input, but, you know, with software, it's always down to the minute. You're always trying to get things done. And there were quality concerns, as there usually are on large, complex projects. And so I came in as a tester, and I immediately realized that given the current system, we wouldn't be on time for testing unless I changed the way that I was doing my piece of the testing. They brought me in, but there could have been three of me, and we still would have had trouble making the deadlines. So because I had sort of changed my definition of success, before that I did a professional job, and I took the paycheck, and I was happy with that. But at that point, I thought, I want more than this. I want to have a positive role on the team, and I want to succeed. I want to make my deadlines, and I want to be on a team that makes their deadlines, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I talked to the team members, which for me was very uncomfortable because, I mean, I was just kind of smooth things over before that and didn't really talk about if I was concerned and thinking that we wouldn't make our deadlines and things like that. I said, I can't miss these deadlines, so we need to fix this. And the team was excellent. You couldn't have found more qualified people to do this work if you had tried. But, you know, you need, at the end of a software project, you really need to bring everything together and integrate it in such a way that it looks great for the client and it works the way they want it to. And with the product that we were putting out, it was very, very complicated. There were thousands of data points on a record. And as I changed and as I said, this is what I need, this is what I got to do, you know, and I'm going to make my deadline and you need to respond appropriately, other people responded by saying, okay, well then this is what I need, this is what we're going to do, you know, and it trickled across the software team. And from that point on, we didn't miss one deadline.
Wow.
And I worked there for a year and a half or 2 years, and we were able to effectively, the quality of the software skyrocketed, and we were able to meet every deadline and just on any metric that you looked at, the team had improved performance by leaps and bounds compared to what it had gone on before that. And it wasn't just me. They brought on a new tech lead. They got a different project manager. And it was everybody working together. But what I recognized was, had I continued to be avoidant, just me, even though there was, you know, maybe 6-7 other people on the team, the team would not have been able to be successful.
Right.
Even though I was the lowest person on
the team.
They just
would have kept going the way that they were.
Yeah, they would have kept going the way that they were, or they would have tried to work around me, but I was the lowest person on the team as a software tester, but yet the way that I tested would have hindered them completely, because what I did was I triaged it, and if I thought something was going to take a long time to fix, if I found that it was wrong, I would check those things first so that I could report those problems first. And then the other things like formatting on a page where, you know, a clause might be wrong or something, those I checked later because I knew that would take 1 minute to fix. So even though I was the lowest person on the team as a quality analyst, the rest of the people were very high qualified analysts and programmers and project managers, I realized that my role was really very critical. And just like every other role, not any more critical than any other role.
Right.
So even from that standpoint, being the lowest person on that team, I had a huge impact on how the team was ultimately able to be wildly successful in what they were doing.
Right. So tell me about this idea of the secret change agent, because we titled this show, Join the Adventure, Become a Secret Change Agent at Work. So tell me about that concept. What do you mean by a secret change agent?
Well, you know, if I had gone in there and said, you know, this software stinks. It didn't stink, but it wasn't particularly good at that point. That's why I was brought in. you know, if I had gone in there and complained and sort of been negative and out of the closet about being a change agent, I probably would not have gotten a warm reception, because what they were doing was working well enough. You know, they had gotten that far, and they might not have recognized the opportunities for improvement, or frankly, might not have really felt like listening to the new person on the team because they had vast experience. But rather than take that approach, I took sort of the secret change agent approach and just decided to live according to my own values and my own integrity, and stick with, you know, yes, I do want to meet my deadlines, and I'm willing to be uncomfortable in the process of trying to do that, and, you know, be in line with what the organization's goals were, which was, this was a critical piece of software that just had to get done. So I think there's a bit of a secrecy there. It's not, I don't like these people that go around making alliances behind people's back, and, you know, they're sort of covert in the way that they do things. Nobody could ever.
So it's not like Survivor.
No. Nobody could ever accuse me of doing that. I'm pretty
above the board.
Transparent. Yeah. Yes. If you ask me what I think, I'll say, do you really want to know what I think, or are you just making conversation? Because I will tell you. So I'm not, you know, I'm not secret in that, you know, if somebody asks me a question or something, I'll tell them. But I'm not overt. I'm not going to, I'm really just trying to do my position, but I'm not doing it in a way that's going to put people off. Competitive people often will view other people as sort of trying to take authority away from them or usurping power that doesn't belong with them. And so particularly in competitive business environments, which a lot of the older organizations are, you know, you need to find ways to work with the people that are in power and really just stick with what really is essential. So, in other words, like if you say you're a change agent, people are like, oh, well, I hate change. Change is bad. Well, not if what exists is bad. If what exists is bad, then change is good, if it's a good change. So, people are not going to welcome you with open arms if you're trying to change without fully understanding the other viewpoints and things like that. So,
yeah, I always cringe when I see job titles out there that are, you know, change management manager or things like that, or even change agent in the job title. I'm thinking, seriously, there are better names for people than something like that, because a lot of times people will look at that and say, well, if your whole job is just to change what I do, go away.
That is so true.
Versus being, you know, the manager of organizational effectiveness or organization development or whatever, or process improvement or whatever you're trying to accomplish through change. That's just my two cents.
That is so true. If you want somebody to dig their heels in and not do anything you ever want them to do again, tell them that you're there to change the organization. And they will immediately hide everything on their desk, empty their queues from their emails. I mean, it's like, it's not that people, I mean, people recognize that things need to change, especially if there's not enough business, there's not enough sales, it affects cash flow. People recognize that things could be done better. They're just, you know, if I work with respect to you, Heather, then you'll realize that I'm not going to make a decision that affects you without discussing it with you and without making sure that it's the right decision for the organization. And I think that's the essential part of being a change agent, is to make sure that you're right. you shouldn't implement a change if it might be the wrong change, because after that, nobody's going to want to listen to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's just how it is. So when I, now at Lehigh, I'm sort of, my position there, I'm working as a researcher, so I don't really have to participate in changing Lehigh, and Lehigh is a pretty cool place to begin with, but my research is on change management, and also I belong to, I'm a treasurer for the National Association of Women MBAs chapter at Lehigh. I'm a treasurer, and so that's a bit of a change agent organization because there's about 25% women at Lehigh, so we would like to see women better represented, but we want them to be just as qualified as their male counterparts as far as the admissions and the classes. And so that's a bit of a change agent role there. And studying organizational change has really given me a different perspective on personal responsibility and accountability within the organization as well.
So if someone is listening and they're thinking, you know, I see all these changes that could be made, that should be made in this organization, or, you know, there's certain things that are, you know, hindering me doing my job properly, kind of like you, your story, you know, what would you tell someone who is sort of on the fence about taking that step to be a change agent?
Well, you know, there's, you know, you look at the situation and you think, well, the company doesn't want to hear it. You know, they've got their policies and procedures that are 20 years old and haven't been updated. They don't want to change. It's uncomfortable. You know, you can't legislate thinking, which is the problem with BP. Right now, they're talking about legislation. And honestly, the technology that was used for that will never be used again. So we can make... we can make laws to manage
Hopefully.
The problem that happened at BP, but it doesn't matter because, of course, they're realizing, oh, well, maybe more flexible material might be better. Or, I'm not sure what they're realizing, but that's what I would think. This thing broke off. Maybe we need a little bit of give. You know, we need an on-off valve, whatever it is. So the problem is if we legalize things, if we make these rules, it does not take the risk away for the future of a similar mishap happening. The only way that risk can be addressed is by people thinking, and you can't legislate people to think. So I would say if you're thinking, oh, well, I want to be a change agent, but there's just no way, you know what? Start thinking about what's going on in your organization, and if it's not right, don't be discouraged. You've got to persevere, but don't be afraid to get the credentials that you need or to talk to the right people and develop those relationships so that in the future they're there for you and start moving in the right direction. And, you know, what I've seen is I thought it would take me, like in what I did in the last 2 years, I thought it would take me 10 years to get where I am. So literally, like, just as those bad decisions have accumulated in your company, if you're thinking, I need to be a change agent, that may be true, and it's not, it's sometimes just a lack of decision making, but as the good decisions are being made, as far as your position goes, those start to accumulate, and it's kind of like you reap what you sow, or any of those analogies. You know, I would say it's so miserable to stay in a position and know it's just going to be like that forever. You can't stand it, and you're going to end up going somewhere else, and then you may have the same exact problems there because you haven't changed in yourself what has sort of allowed that rigidity to set in where you're just being hemmed in by the organizational structure. So I think rather than move on without addressing it, you can job hunt and still become a secret change agent at work. And you can be as secret and quiet about it as you want. But as you see, say, a 30-year-old form that was typewritten and scanned in, you can redo that form and submit that to your boss and say, hey, it was had old fields in that we don't use anymore, and I added these things because we need this data. And you can sort of take those little initiatives, and people are like, oh, thanks. You know, people are
right.
Like pleasantly surprised that you did that, you know, and I think life would be miserable if you weren't a change agent. And so I would say, everybody out there, you should go for it. It's a lot of fun to be a change agent. And I think, Heather, like, you're partnering with people is so amazing, because I didn't have that. I sort of had to figure it out by trial and error myself. And I think, you know, having a partner like you would be so much more enjoyable and fun, because you understand what to change, what not to change, what's difficult but worthy of your efforts. And so, I don't know, how do you feel about people committing to change?
Well, like you said, it's one step at a time. You know, people often will think that, you know, if I'm going to commit to changing this huge organization, well, that's daunting. But if you can look at it from individual steps that you can take, like that form that you explained, you know, that's a lot more doable. And so, and you can become a change agent. You get larger and larger responsibilities as you start taking on more responsibilities for change. And it just snowballs from there.
Right.
So, Dot, we actually are out of time, so I just would like to thank you so much for being on the show and telling your story,
mm-hmm.
and for encouraging people to be change agents. I really appreciate your time and your being here today.
Thanks so much, Heather. Appreciate it.
And let's go ahead and share your website if people wanted to learn more about you and what you're doing.
Okay. My website is www.dotsworldonline.com.
Great. Thanks again for being here.
Okay, thanks.
So the next topic, or the next show, is coming up in 4 weeks. It's Tuesday, July 6, 2010, at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. The guest is going to be Dr. Jackie Sherman of the Jackie Sherman Group, and she has so much that she's thought of that she can talk about on the show that she hasn't decided what she wants to talk about. And so we'll make that decision in the next 4 weeks, and she'll be my guest then. There's one other event I'd like to let you know about. Last month, I presented live at the Organization Change Alliance Group in Atlanta. And coming up on June 24th at 2 p.m. Eastern, I'm offering the same presentation as a free webinar called Inside Influence, Leading Change from the Middle. So that's June 24th at 2 p.m. All you have to do to attend is go to the website, www.enclaria.com/events, and register. So I hope to see you there. Thank you so much for listening to The Change Agent's Dilemma. Take care and best wishes for your change initiative.
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer odor control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Using an overpriced trash bag.
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks.
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag.
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong trash bags, always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet, and they cost less than Glad ForceFlex were sold head to head. So you'll be
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer odor control. Available at Sam's Club.
Hefty, hefty, hefty! Yeah.